We are on Lamed Daled Amud Beis. We are talking about, the Gemara said, how could you say 16 chatos? Why do you separate for 3 months? Einishim is haberet v'bi'a rishayna. We wouldn't have to worry about it. Now, the Mepharshim speak out, it's possible, but very highly unlikely. Not like nobody ever gets to be haberet v'bi'a rishayna. It's highly unlikely. They talk about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, it says, I'm hearing noise.
Yes, do you have an announcement?
Anyway, Kaichi Voracious Aini, it says. So, could that be?
Moshe,
be a
speak up, Moshe.
It was Be'er Rishayna. So they give two terusim. The Nidei Behuda says the Yaakov Avinu had Be'er Rishayna and wasn't Maitzi any Zera because it wouldn't have been Misaber, and he wanted his Rishis Aini to impregnate a woman, and therefore that's what Nidei Behuda writes. The Yaakov Avinu by Be'er Rishayna wasn't Maitzi any Zera, and therefore Rishis Aini was by the second Be'er. Others say it's highly unlikely, but it's possible. By Yaakov Avinu, what happened? It was Rishis Aini. That's what they say. So it's the Machlokes. So that's what the Achrayim speak out. It's not impossible. Right? It's the Geya. They talk about a woman gets married. She lives with her husband one time. And right, that's what we learned, right? I think coming up, I don't know if Lloyd thought it's going to be there. It might be there, Basulam, right? We just learned that yesterday. About Tamar. Tamar was my Basulam. They talk about a woman lives with her husband one time, and then she has a baby. And the husband's worried that it's a mamzer. He only lived with her one time. And he says, Mishabarat. So how does the baby come about? She must have been Mizana with somebody else. And therefore, he's worried that his child is a mamzer, and that his wife was Mizana. So I want him to say, no, it's not impossible. It's highly unlikely, but not enough to make a kid a mamzer. She lived with him. So it happened that she got pregnant. We're not going to make the kid a mamzer because usually Einishim is haberes mibia rishayna. Anyway, back to the Gemara.
Do you have an announcement to make?
I have an announcement?
Yeah, did the Moish give you a sign of sponsoring today's year?
Again, I have nothing in front of me saying anything about a sponsorship.
Yes, well, you don't
have a you sponsoring today's year?
Moshe Breit,
you're sponsoring today's year?
Yes, Mr. Sanciosa, my father, Yaakov, Yehuda ben Yaakov Moshe.
Is this year sponsored for Yehuda? I don't have it here, I'm sorry. Yehuda ben Yaakov Moshe. Okay.
Thank you.
Rove Moshe.
Rove Moshe.
Rove Moshe.
Rove Moshe. Not enough, no. Not for this, no. It's possible. You can't make it get a mamzer on that, no. Anyway, that's what they talk about. Let's move on. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines to the top. Mitzvah. It says, Kol Eshem Ba'al Chodesh, Dashmi B'fnim V'Zayim B'chutz. We don't pass it this way. But the problem is, a woman who's pregnant, a woman who's nursing, and while she's nursing, she becomes pregnant, her milk supply stops. And in the time of the Gemara, there was no Enfamil, Similac, they paid for this advertisement, and there was no way to feed. There was no way to feed a baby, or very difficult to feed a baby that was young, under 24 months old. So we don't want a woman getting pregnant during the first 24 months after she has a baby, because it will interfere with her milk supply. So Rabbi Eliezer gives the following advice. A person should live with their wife, but the zera should be done outside. It should be gashmi b'fnim, the zera b'chutz. He should penetrate his wife, but when the zera comes out, he should do it outside of his wife. That's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Amrulai, so the Chachamim said to him, halolu eina l'kamaisa erev einan. That's what erev einan did. Now, we understood this literally. Yesterday, we said that erev einan lived shloi kedarka. From this advice, it sounds, they lived Kedarka, but they were Zayra Mibachot, which the Chachamim hold is Asr, it's Hashkot Zera. But the the Gemara, the Braita seems to say that that's what Erev Aina did, which means Tamar had a Bia before she lived with Yehuda. Yesterday we said that Tamar broke her psulim with her fingers, and therefore she was able to become pregnant from the Bia Rishayna that she ever had. Here we're saying that Erev Aina did live with her regularly. They were Dash Mibifnim, Mizayim Mibichot. Because the Rabbanon are telling Rabbi Eliezer, your solution is Erev Aina. And for the Gemara, Kamais Erev Aina, Veloy Kamais Erev Aina. It's like Erev Aina, it's not like Erev Aina. Kamais Erev Aina, Nechsev Hayim Boya, Eshesach, Meshich, Asarza. It's like Erev Aina that says that they wasted their Zerah on the ground. Because there, they didn't even dash mebifnim. They did hashchasa zera without being dash mebifnim. And therefore, all we're saying is, it's similar to Erev Aina, that they wasted the zera.
Why not just say that she didn't have another child that she was nursing?
Again. Let's go back. The Mishnah said, we said yesterday, the Tamar got pregnant from the first relationship she ever had.
I understand.
So we had a problem. She married two people before Yehuda.
I understand.
So the answer had been that she never had a relationship with them.
I got it.
So the problem is, the Braita says that Eliezer offered a solution to a nursing woman, which Rabbanan said is what Erev Aina did.
I'm saying it's not what Erev Aina did, because she didn't have a baby already that she was nursing.
Again, the reason is not the Erev Aina. The question is the physical act. The Rabbanan are telling Rabbi Eliezer, what you're suggesting to the husband of the nursing woman is utter.
What I'm saying is the intention of Erev Aina was so that she doesn't become pregnant.
100%, but it's...
Again.
It's not answering the question. Did she have a regular relationship or not? That's our question. We're not interested in intention. The Rabbanan said to Rabbi Eliezer, what you're suggesting is Hashchas Zera.
Yeah.
They don't agree that that's a permissible act, to be Dash Mebifnim Mezayim
Mebichot. If it's Pekuach Nefesh, why wouldn't it be permissible?
And yet, don't live with your wife. Or be Meshamesh B'mayich. There are other solutions. Or going to one of the Amar, let the Rabbi Nishlam take care of it. I'm not going to get involved in that now. But that's not the issue. The issue here is a very limited issue. The Rabbanan's response to Rabbi Eliezer is, what you're suggesting is utter. In describing the Isser, they call it what Erev Aina did.
Yeah.
What we see from that is that Erev Aina had a regular relationship. So Tamar was not in the Sabra Mikia Rishayna. That's all we want. We're not discussing intent and...
Okay.
Dr. Gemara, that's not what it means. It means it's like Erev Aina the wasted the Zera, but not like Erev Aina in the way they did it. Rabbanan are telling him, what you're doing is telling the husband to waste the Zera, which is what Erev Aina did in a different way. That's what the Gemara's answer.
Why would they
have done Erev Aina the Zera? Why would they have done that? Why would they have done that? Ilu hatim shalai kedarka, v'ochi kedarka, and here he did it. And here the husband is doing it kedarka. Somebody have a question?
Yeah, why would Erev Aina did it because she was so beautiful and she didn't want to get pregnant. So why would they do that if they weren't doing a kedarka? What's the point of that? Why would they, the reason they did it because they didn't want her to get pregnant so she would remain so beautiful.
Right.
So why would they have done that? If you can't get pregnant, lo shu kedarka, then what would be the point of doing that? This answer doesn't make sense.
Why would they be shichas arza?
Yeah.
That's what you're concentrating on the word arza?
Yeah, so shilo lo kedarka. I mean, what would be the point?
So the way I understood it, and I have no riot that I'm right, is that arza doesn't necessarily mean literally the ground. It means to say wasted. Shloi kedarka is a waste of a zera.
Yeah, that is arza. That's what the mars means, right?
That's what I think it means. Arza doesn't mean physically on the ground, because you're right. Why would they bother not getting pregnant anyway? But arza means wasted. That's what I think. Rashi, kol chav dal tchaydeh shatinik yainik. Dash me b'fnim b'zareh b'chutz k'deh shlit t'saber. She should not become pregnant, the tigmal is bina, and she'll have to stop nursing. V'yamus and rachmana l'tzman, he might die. El kamei te'er alma tamar pesach v'suach ha'yala. So we see Tamar was open; she had had a relationship. And the answer is no. She never had a relationship with Kedarka. All the rabbanim meant to bring is the isra of Ashkenaz's era. Frek to Gemara. Bishlay ba'ainan dechzir be'bishichas arza. Ainan, it says that Hashem killed him, made him die, because he wasted Zera. Ela Er Minolan. Who says Er did the same achet? In the pasuk, it doesn't say that. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak dechzir ba'yamas gam oisay. By Ainan, it says Hashem also killed him. Also. The also says, Avhu ba'aisem isemes, that he also died for the same reason. I understand why Einan didn't want to live with her. He didn't want to give Er children. He felt that if he would do Yibum, even though he would be the physical father, the kid would have properties, the continuation of Er, which we always have described Yibum, that he's taking over the neshama, right? Continuing on the legacy in the neshama of the deceased brother. Ella Er, my time of it, Huggy. Why did Er do this? Er had no reason to do this. Why didn't he want to have children? Why didn't Er want to have children? Einan didn't want to have children that would be Er's children, so to speak. He had no interest in helping his brothers neshama. But what did Er? Why didn't Er want her to be pregnant? So the Gemara Kadesh list is Abra v'Yachin Shefa. He wanted a beautiful wife more than he wanted children, and therefore it was worthwhile for him to have his beautiful wife and not have children, and that's why he was Mashchiz Zera. Zokti Gemara Baita, Tana Rabbana. Okay. I want to explain something here. It might be a new piece of knowledge. A man, when he has a relationship with his wife, becomes a Balkari. Nothing wrong with it, but it's reality. He becomes a Balkari, and he becomes Tameh, can't eat Truma. Again, it doesn't affect the Yisrael. Only if he wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash. But for a Kayan who eats Truma, he becomes a Balkari, he has to go to the Mikvah, and then the night afterwards, he can eat Truma. That's the Halacha. A woman can become Tameh one of two ways, in the same, word I'm looking for, legal relationship. A Mishameshet becomes Tameh. The act of Tashmish makes a woman Tameh for Truma. Not for Nida, she doesn't become opposite to her husband. She becomes Tame from Truma from having the active relationship. Besides for that, even if she were to go to the mikvah immediately after Tashmish, which would be like the woman analogous case to a Balkari, she can be at Paleta. Within the next 3 days, if the Zera of the husband comes out of her body, she becomes Tame as a Paleta, and she would have to go to the mikvah again. This is only for Truma. It has nothing to do with altering a relationship with her husband. It's like a tummy of a Balkari. It's the woman, what am I looking for? The woman version of Balkari. But two ways. A, the act of Tashmish, and that she's not tummy for touching the Zera, because that's in her body. And therefore, she doesn't become tummy for that. It's internal. It's the act of Tashmish. And B, it's the when it's Peletes, when it leaves her body, there's a new tumah called Peletes Shechva Zera. If you remember, by Matan Torah, they separated 72 hours, 3 days before Matan Torah. So a woman shouldn't be tumah as a Peletes, because if she had a relationship with her husband, the Zera might come out on the day of Matan Torah and she would be tumah. So therefore they separated enough time that either the Zera comes out or it's Masriach, or it becomes non-viable. And at that point, it doesn't become tummy as a paletus. That's what we said back in Masechta Shabbos. So here we're going to talk about this tumma of the shameshes. We're not going to talk about paletus. We're going to talk about the tumma called mishameshes. Nothing to do with paletus. The act of tashmish makes a woman tummy. Again, I want to stress this. She doesn't become asher labayla. She does for a Yisraelis who's not eating truma. If not headed to the Beit HaMikdash, this makes absolutely no difference. Only if she eats chulin b'tara, which doesn't exist today. But in the time when they were makban and tara, or she wants to eat truma, she's an eishes chayin, if she was mishameshes, she would have to wait to make sure she's not a paletes, go to the mikvah before she can eat truma. That's the fact. So Tana Rabbana.
Go right away to the mikvah,
but he's trying to eat truma till the next night, till Harav Shemesh. Theoretically, if he had a relationship with a woman 20 minutes before Shkia, he can run to the mikvah and become tar 20 minutes later. That's a glove, I'm sorry.
Until he goes, there's no time
limit.
Until he goes to mikveh, he's always tummy, right?
For truma, again, we don't keep truma tara today, so it doesn't pertain to us. There are people that are machmir and tefillas Ezra. Every time they have a relationship with a woman, with their wife, they go to the mikveh in order to, before davening, because Ezra was masakim that about carrying to go to the mikveh before he learned to daven. Right, we paskin that we're not machmer on that. We had this sugya in brachas. Remember, we learned brachas way back when, before Ksubas, not that long ago. Tana Rabbana. So the pasuk says, "V'shachav ish aisa shichva zera." A man lives with his wife. Shichva zera. I'm sorry. The pasuk is, "V'isha ki asha yishkav ish aisa shichva zera." V'rochtu b'mayim v'tamu ad ha'arev. They should go to the mikvah and they're tamei to the evening. That's what the pasuk says. So what is Isa? Obviously, it's a woman. A man is going to live, he's going to live with a woman. What's Isa? So we say, Isa prat lekala. It comes to say that a woman from the first bia, all reasons will be discussed when we go along. A woman from the first bia does not become tamei as a mishameshes. Isa means a regular woman, excluding a kala. Kala means her first relationship. She's not tamei as a mishameshes from the first relationship. We don't know why. We don't know anything yet. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim aimrim, shprat shalai kedarka. If a husband lives with his wife shalai kedarka, she's not called a mishameshes. It has to be the regular way. If he lives with her in the irregular way, she's not mishameshes. That's the thing. Amalai Hain Breder of Nachman or Rav Nachman. Hain, the son of Rav Nachman, said to Rav Nachman. Leimek Asava Rav Yehuda, Hatay Rechasa, Tachshite Kala. Are you telling me Rav Yehuda is saying we're worried she's going to lose her perfume and her makeup? Why in the world does she have to go to the mikveh after the first Tashmish? Because she's all made up for Rechasana, and therefore she's going to have a relationship, have to go to the mikveh, it's going to ruin her facial makeup? What's the Rebbe Yehuda mean that a kala is excluded? Why? Amalei, v'sha'ein ishim esaberes v'bi'a rishayna. The woman can't get pregnant from the bi'a rishayna, or highly unlikely, and the Torah only makes a woman go to the mikvah from a relationship that can impregnate her. Not from a relationship that cannot impregnate her. So even though physically there was the same relationship, and physically the husband was mighty Zara into her. All that happened. But the Torah only makes the Meshameshes go to the mikvah if the relationship was capable of conception. This relationship was highly incapable, probability incapable of conception. And therefore, the Torah does not consider a Meshameshes for Tumah. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbanon disagree, but that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, v'isha asha yishkiv ish aita shich v'zera, v'rech tu b'mayim, oisa mi'utahu, oisa is a mi'at.
Rabbi.
Prat pala, v'leboi tvila, mishum tumas b'ya rishayna, k'z mefarish time ala kamon, like it says later on. Chayn is shem chocham, the name of a chocham. Al tashite kala, chal v'srak, these are makeup, v'ne senes al paneha, v'im titva, yaviru mamayim, she goes to the mikvah, the water will take it off. They ask, why is it a chatzitza? The answer is, biblically, chatzitza has to cover right her body. Rabbinically, we hear machmer. But biblically, it has to be rubai hamakbel. So therefore, what's on her face is not rubai, so biblically it would not be a problem of chatzitza. The pasuk says, Ashi yishkav ish aisa shichva zera. The Ain Roy Lazria, it's not capable of impregnating. Miyum miyuta mishikh vazer le nafka. wouldn't learn it out from the virtue of Chazera. However, high mokum rol azriya will be a shniya, because the place is a place where a woman gets impregnated. So you could say it is shechva zera. So Isa comes to tell me that this woman is incapable of being of conceiving, therefore it's not called mishameshes. Frek Rashi, but she's touching shechva zera. Why isn't she tameh for touching shechva zera? Any person that touches shechva zera becomes a rishon l'tumah. So why isn't she tameh? Because her body is touching shechva zera. Frek Rashi. She's not tameh for touching the shechva zera. The tumah is based on sarim l'metame. That's internal. Internal touch is not metameh. The Torah says even though the touch is not metameh her, the actual relationship makes her tameh. That's what it says in the Masechta Nida.
Is Rashi right that the Rebbe Yehuda never agrees with the Chachamim?
We'll see in a minute. The Gemara will explain.
Maybe can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can.
Again, if she can't become pregnant, why does it say shalog kadarko? It excludes shalog. It should exclude just regular because she can't become pregnant.
Again, there's a machlokes from Yehuda the Chachamim, right?
Yeah.
Oh, according to the Chachamim, right, they learned that has not, anyway, let's do 5-6 more lines, and if you have a question, you'll ask it again, okay? So, to come up with my commitment, what's the machlokes about? Why is Rabbi Yehuda excluding first Bia and Rabbanan excluding Shalai Kedarka? The Chayra Shalai Kedarka would make more sense to exclude. Totally out of the realm of becoming pregnant. Meaning, why shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda agree to the Rabbanan's exclusion? We're excluding that she's not Mishameshes. Okay. Something that's impossible for her to get pregnant, shleika d'arka. Not something that's within the realm of conception, but a technicality of bia rishayna. Zakti Gemara. Dr. Braid, Rabbi Berger came by to give me your father's name. Anyway, Zakti Gemara. Ever the Gemara, Rabbanan Sarbi Shikva Zera Prat Harah. The word Shikva Zera is to tell me that it's not Harah. Let me explain. We're going to learn this in the sixth parak. Let's talk about illegal relationships now. If a person has an illegal relationship with a woman, he can be Chayav Karas, the Misa, whatever it is. How about if he has called Harah? Harah is a Machloikas Gemara. What Harah is? What Mandi Amar learns, it is the entry of the atara. A person partially penetrates, his male organ enters to beyond the atara, the higher part of the male organ, at the tip of the male organ. If he goes in that far, that's called a bia, and he's chayiv whatever result it is. One Mandi Amar says that haroah is neshika. If his male organ touches the outside of a woman's private part, that's called the bia. That's called harah. Tamachloik is what it is. But whatever it is, it's considered a bia. So now, a man lives with his wife. They have harah. Is she a mishamesha? In Hilchas bia, this is called a bia vis-a-vis isure bia. But how about a husband and wife where there's a tumah called mishamesha? So we learn now from the word shechva zera that it excludes harah. Because it's not an act of zera. Zera comes with a greater penetration, not with this machloikis, whether it's partial penetration, a very small penetration, or no penetration. But either way, shechva zera lemutei harprat laharah. She's not a mishameshes if all her husband did was harah. Aisa prat shalai kadarka. The next meat is that if it's shleika darka, where there was penetration, and there was zera, but since it's not capable of impregnating, so that's excluded. So according to the Rabbanon, we have two miyutim. One from the word shechva zera, and one from the word aisa. One is excluding harah, that she's not a mishameshes if there was harah, and one is excluding shleika darka. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, shleika darka v'harah mishechva zera navka. Rabbi Yehuda says the Shalaika Dark and Harak are both excluded from Sheikh Vazera. Sheikh Vazera excludes Shalaika Dark as well. So I can learn both out of Sheikh Vazera. So I have an extra miyat. So the extra miyat, I the Bratlikalom. So he says, even if it is Kedarka, and even if it is more than Hara, but the fact that it's Bia Rishayna excludes her. Rashi. Look to Rashi. Hara Shlo Hizriya. He did not put out Zera. Ila Mandam in the Shika. According to the Mandam, it says it's the Shika. Ila Mandam Achnos is Hatara. Shlo Kedarka by Rama Shikla Zera Navka. Shlo Kedarka ain't a Mokum Zera. It's not a place for a conception. Hara Lach Shikla Zera. They ain't Kan Zera. They're both excluded from Shikvazera. That's what Rabbi Huda holds. Therefore, he has an extra miyat, which he uses for a kala. The Mephoshim want to know, why don't we exclude an islandess as Cana, a 90-year-old woman? An islandess. She can't become pregnant. So why do we say kala more than islandess, or as Cana, or Akara? If you're excluding a woman that can't become pregnant with this relationship, but there's a whole list of women that can't become pregnant with a relationship.
And they should be,
they should not be mishameshes. They should not be tamei.
Not tamei, right.
That's the kasha. So the answer is that it's not true. An islandess can't give birth. An islandess can never conceive.
No, but you mean? But you know,
she's an islandess.
Let's say you knew she was an islandess. That's not. You couldn't know that she's an islandess. There's Somani islandess.
The question is, by her. The kala, she's not tummy, right?
Right.
Okay,
because we have an extra miyat.
Right.
But an islandess is tummy. Why is an islandess less excluded than a kala? Why is a kala excluded? Because she can't conceive. Either can an islandess. That's the kasha to ask.
Does it matter whether an islandess became an islandess?
Let's say she's 90 years old, okay? Forget about it. She's a skena.
Yeah, but no, but she was once.
But now she's not.
She was once in the partial.
But this is a beer that cannot impregnate. So the answer is that one is a physical impediment. An islandess, her place of tashmish is the same as a regular woman. Unfortunately, she lacks other parts of the body that make it possible for her to conceive. A skena, her physical body for Tashmish is the same as a young one. She's just incapable of conceiving because of her old age. A kala has an impediment. The fact that her opening is tight and closed makes it very highly unlikely she'll conceive. It's a physical impediment. Therefore, we're going to exclude somebody. We're going to exclude somebody that has a physical impediment rather than someone who has a side technical impediment for different reasons. That's what they answer. I'm sorry? It's physical, but not in the makom habiyah. Not in the place of relationship. She's lacking a uterus. She's lacking other parts of the body. But she's not lacking in the place of tashmish. She's the same as any other woman.
Is that the way it is?
That's the way it is. Yes. That's the way it is.
Well, what was the question? Along with the debate of Rabbi Yehuda has a reason, right?
According to the Rabbi Yehuda, who excludes kala, why kala more than islandess? Not the Rabbanan.
Well, who did we say? I thought Rabbi Yehuda's the one that said that because of the tachshiti kala.
That was a kash on him. Again, it's nothing to do with tachshitim. That's not the reason. The son of Rav Nachman said to Rav Nachman, which of you to worry about a tachshitin?
Oh.
So he answered, of course not. That's not a tzara. It's a tzara tachshitin because Eidi Shimon Saveret.
Oh, I thought that was...
Bottom line is, Rav Yehuda's not doing it because of tachshitin.
Oh, okay.
It was Hein's way of asking a question. Why is a kala different? Because he has makeup? So the answer was no, of course not. It's because Eidi Shimon Saveret. So the Achroinim asked, so an island is also Eidi Shimon Saveret. Its Cain is also Eidi Shimon Saveret. Right?
So what's the answer there? Because
the answer is, Bokim Tashmish of a woman is the same by an island as an Iskena as a regular woman. What's different is side issues. The Mokim Tashmish of a Kala is different. There's a physical impediment. That's what they answer. But from Rashi Shiti, you see, and this is also Machlokes Rishonim, that if a person had Tashmish with his wife and was not Maitzi Zera, she would not be a Meshameshes. Rashi stresses a few times the Enkan Zera. Haro has no Zera. Gemar Bia has Zera. Right? Haro Lach Shechla Zeru, the Enkan Zera. Rashi seems to say that Meshameshes is because Zera goes into her body. That's what makes Meshameshes. It's not Matameh of her touch. So theoretically, according to Rashi, if a person has Tashmish without Zera, she's not a Meshameshes. Others disagree. Others say the Shechva Zera refers to a Bia that usually has Zera, which is a Gemar Bia, and whether there is or isn't Zera, she would be a Meshameshes anyway. Again, this is theory, nothing to do with Halacha L'mais, it's a theoretical Machlokes, but it's there. Don't think about it. Tiyatza Rabban Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Rabban came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Kol Shashah Sacha Baila Esher Shana Benissus, Shuvaini Yeletis. Any woman, the Rahman al-Litzan, her husband died, and there was a 10-year break before she got remarried, cannot give birth anymore. Her body's function, after 10 years of no activity, shuts down. Now, this is only if she was once married and then became widowed. A girl that never got married, her body does not shut down after 10 years. It's only if she was married. She was married, let's say, at 12. Her husband died, Rahman al-Litzvani died at 13, when she was 13. And for the next 10 years, she had no activity. So her body shuts down.
Achar
10 years after her husband dies. No, it's not. As long as her husband's alive, the body functions to full force, because whether she's having Tashmish or not, she's in the mode of Tashmish. We're going to see that in a minute. That's not me, it's the Gemara. Whereas, once the husband died, she's out of Tashmish mode. She's out of Tashmish mode for 10 years, her body shuts down. Once she was married once. Dr. Gemara Amar Rav Nachman, Loi Shono Shein Dai Til Inosim. It's only if she doesn't plan to get remarried. Ava Dai Til Inosim is Averas. In her mind, she's getting married, her body does not shut down. Mind over matter. It's only when she says, okay, my years of having been married are over, I am not getting married again, and for 10 years she's not planning to get married, her body shuts down. But if during those 10 years she decides to get remarried, her body does not shut down, even if she doesn't get remarried during those 10 years. Rashi? No Rashi. Talk to Gemara.
That means even the first 4 years, I'm not married. And then in the middle, fifth year, she said, you know what, maybe I should have been tried. That will, Lafreya?
The way I understand it, it takes 10 years with no activity and no desire to shut down.
But I'm saying,
so there was no 10 years of no desire.
So it even helps for the first 4 years.
Again, it takes 10 years to shut down, and if she has desire before 10 years, it doesn't shut down. Don't think about it. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rabba. I'm sorry. Amalei Rabba L'Basra Chizda. Rabba told his wife, who was the daughter of Chizda, Kamaranani Rabbanan Abasre. How does he translate Maranani?
Murmuring
about you. Why? She was widowed for 10 years from her first husband named Rabbi Bar Chama, and then she married Rabba, and she had children. And Rabbanan is saying, hey, you know, this lady, how's she having children after 10 years of no activity? Amrlei. So she answered him, I know I died to Allah. Hobby, I was planning to marry you. Now, what does that mean? What happens is as follows. So Gemara says in Baba Basra that Rav Chisda's daughter was sitting on his lap, over there, and he asked her, who do you want to marry? And Rami Bar Chama and Rava were both there. So she said, I want to marry both. She was a little girl. So Rava said, I go last. She married Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama died very young. Rava was married to a different woman. When Rava's wife died, he married her. So in her mind, she viewed what she had said as a little kid as a nevuah, that she was going to marry both. So in her mind, Rava was her next husband. So she never gave up on the hope of marrying. In fact, she even had an intended person that she wanted to marry. And therefore, she was able to conceive and have children afterwards with no problem. Rashi, Lebasra Chizda, Ishta de Rava. Abasreich, after you. Shishahos Esther Shanim, you waited 10 years after Baila Harishan. Rami Bar Chama Haba, and it was Rami Bar Chama. Zot Gemara Vaiter. Ahida Asti Lekamed Rav Yosef. A lady came in front of Rav Yosef. Amar Le Rebbe, Anisha Hizdi Acha Baila Esther Shanim Yolati. You know, 10 years I was after my husband. I did not plan to get married. And I had children afterwards. According to you, that should be impossible. Don't spread rumors against the Chachamim. You're missing a fact. The Pashup Shachi said, I had a relationship with a guy during those 10 years. So she wasn't inactive. The Ritva learns she wanted to have a relationship with a guy during those 10 years. Not to marry him, but she had desire to have a relationship with a guy. So her mind was active. And therefore, it prevented the shutdown of her body. That's how the Ritva learns it. That not she actually lived with a guy, because if she did, what's she coming to a guy for? What she thought was she had no desire to get remarried for 10 years. Her guy said, you must have had something, so she said, I had desire to have a relationship. And that's enough. That's a chiddush. According to the other way, she actually did have a relationship, so what'd she come to a guy for? So the Ritva learns that is, she admitted that she had a desire for a relationship with a guy. Not marriage, but a relationship. Rashi? No Rashi.
She becomes one. She becomes that tumor comes on her if it's a goy.
Now we're going away from that. Now we're saying no. I don't have to learn
about it. It doesn't do with this. You're asking a side child. It has nothing to do with that. Look, we're not talking tumor now. We talked tumor. Now we switch topics. So you want to know what should be a tumor, Mr. Shamesh, just from a guy? My guess is yes. Do I have a proof now?
Rabbi, can I ask you a question? Why was he murmuring about this the mice before?
What?
I mean, why were they murmuring? Why are they abundant murmuring about this woman?
What do you mean? I don't understand your question.
They said that the rabbis are murmuring concerning that you were maybe, you know, active while you were. What were they
doing?
What was that answer? They always wanted to get remarried. I mean, what was
that? That's what she answered him.
What's the question? We know if a woman wants to get remarried, then it's, you know, very. Why were they assuming she was not, you know, that she was acting inappropriately? I mean, why even have a question?
My take on that is, if Chizda's daughter would have wanted to get remarried, she would have gotten remarried. There wouldn't have been a 10-year break.
Rabbi?
It wouldn't have been such a long break. If she wanted to get remarried, there would have been enough husbands for her. Her answer is, I wanted you. And therefore, I waited.
Mm-hmm.
To get a husband for Rav Chisda's daughter would not have been a problem. That's my understanding.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Sure.
We've had two statements here in the Gemara that are kind of scientific in nature. One was that a woman doesn't get pregnant with her first tashmias, and now the second one, that if a woman goes 10 years without, and assuming she doesn't think about it, that she's not going to get pregnant again. When we've studied other things like that, I thought your response has been either that maybe the people's bodies have changed over the years, but neither of these things are accepted now scientifically at all, as far as I know.
First one, Chaim speak out. that today things change because girls get married older and their body opens up as they get older. And therefore, the reason of any shemisaveres may be a rishayin is because it's closed and the husband has to break it open. That's less applicable today, where even for women who retain their dam sulam, which is also not so clear, it's much by being more open, older, that physical fact has changed because of age. That's what the achrayim all speak out. So today, it's more common that isha should be mitaberes maybe a rishayna. That's what achrayim speak out on that one. The second one, I have no idea. I don't know, you know, I don't know if it changed or didn't change.
I was focusing on the women pretending to have
no desire to get remarried and then get remarried. Again, this is what I'm going to say now is just a speculative statement. Women get married older the first time, usually get widowed older, and 10 years later might even be out of the era of being able to conceive or being interested in conception. But then again, it could happen that a 21-year-old widow gets married and becomes widowed very shortly afterwards and doesn't get remarried to 32. It could happen. But it's a very infrequent case, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know what happens there. I don't know if it's, Chazal said it's true in their days. Whether it's true in these days, I don't know. It's not paskin in halacha.
Okay.
So it's hard to know whether it's negeya or not negeya. Meaning, you're assuming that the fact is not true. I'm saying the fact rarely happens.
Well, we have a number of these things. I recall Rashi talking about how the direction of sperm can create the gender in the child. I don't know if he's considered a misstatement by Rav Yosef a chacham. I mean, I don't know if a commentator in the Middle Ages is considered that, so I don't know how wide the statement goes, but we've had any number of these things.
Again, this is a case that it's very hard to prove that it doesn't apply today. It's so not common. It would have to be a woman that got widowed, didn't plan to get remarried for 10 years, which we never know, got married, and she's still young enough to conceive. And then she does. You understand what I'm saying?
With all due respect, I think it happens all the time. I don't think it's uncommon at all.
But women don't plan to remarry for 10 years?
Absolutely. But I don't think this is an uncommon thing. But there's many instances we've had over the years just in this year. Where
a lot of things have changed. That's true.
What if she's divorced?
All right.
Rather than a widow.
It seems to, I think it's the same for divorce. It doesn't say death. It says achar baila.
Yeah.
It says achar baila.
It
doesn't say anything. Her mindset is, I had it once, I'm not interested again, I'm finished, I'm gone.
I understand, in the middle, she said, maybe it's, you know what, for my children, whatever, I mean, I should. And the 5-minute thought process, and her whole body changes again?
Again, it happens after 10 years. It doesn't happen till 10 years. Not like the minute she decides not to get remarried, her body changes. If for 10 years she doesn't plan to get remarried, her body changes.
This was in the middle of the 10 years, she had a thought, you know what, maybe I should marry. In her 10-minute span, she had that thought.
So then the body doesn't shut.
And then the rest of the 7 years, she said, you know what, it's ridiculous.
So for 10 years, she didn't go 10 years. I failed to see your...
5-minute span is going to change the whole thing?
Again.
It doesn't... Do you have any doctors in the line that know...
It doesn't make a difference what the doctors say. Again.
Accountants? No, there's doctors there that got the degree somehow.
Again. I failed to see your question. I don't even understand it. Let me ask you a question. Forget everything else. Because they were telling us, if a woman doesn't want to get married for 10 years, her body shuts down. Do you understand that? That you understand? Like, this is the thing that's bothering you, but the other thing you really understand.
This is a little more...
It's the same thing, because now we're telling you how a woman's body functions. So what do you... Why are you... No offense to you, but why in the world are you questioning this?
I shouldn't, but I...
I'm trying to figure it out.
I'm wrong. Today.
Because there's no scientific evidence to support it. That's why you question it.
What?
Because there's no scientific evidence to support it. That's why you question it.
There's no scientific evidence to dispute it either.
Well, I think that's what a
hard... Nobody knows whether the woman intended to get married during those 10 years. How do people know?
That's what Harvey was pointing out.
Yeah, but I couldn't... That's why I didn't understand Harvey on that point. He says it's very common. How does one know that a woman decided never to get married and for 10 years had that decision, and then all of a sudden she got married after that?
Ask her.
Yeah, but we don't do that, right? So you have no scientific evidence either way. So it's all speculative.
Did you get yelled last week?
Class 5?
I'm serious.
What I'm trying to say is there's no scientific evidence either way. It wouldn't bother me if there is scientific evidence. It could be Nishtan Hatev. It doesn't bother me at all. But I'm just saying over here, I don't even know if you have to say that. We don't know. It has to be a woman that's either divorced or widowed and for 10 years did not entertain the thought of remarriage. Seriously. And then after 10 years, decided to get remarried. And is still young enough to conceive, and she won't conceive. That would have to be the scientific evidence. I don't know where that scientific evidence exists.
Well,
because
again,
in my mind, the woman that gets remarried probably thought of remarriage positively during those 10 years.
Yeah,
I don't know
that
she did or didn't.
But even if I tell you that I know cases of that happened, you're going to tell me what, you know, nature has changed. I mean, you're going
to... I will. Absolutely, I will tell you that. It's time not to happen. Nature has
right.
changed. What can I tell you?
Okay.
But I don't know. But I don't think this... In many cases, I say nature has changed. In this case, I don't know if it's necessary. Everybody's assuming that it's not true today. I don't know why that assumption is there. That's what I'm trying to say. I, you know what I mean?
Yes.
In the time
no.
of Chazal, women got married very young.
That...
And these women said about themselves they don't want to get remarried for 10 years. They didn't want to. I don't know of any case. I mean, again, Baruch Hashem, I don't know of women that for 10 years were sure they're never going to get remarried.
And didn't even think about it.
And didn't even think positively about
sure.
it.
That's where I was coming in with it. That's where my husband is coming in.
Okay, Emet Hashem, Sunday morning at 6:30. I'm trying to figure out, is anybody on the phone can tell me where I have to start on Sunday? Is it the top of Lamed Gimel and Aleph?
On the top, yeah. We started again on the top.
Sunday morning, 6:30. Everybody should have a wonderful Sabbath.